Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 31st of March, the last day of the quarter. And I'm recording at 9:32 p.m., and that's British summertime. And yes, it's nice to have the warmer weather, at least here in the West. Now, Owen's away for the next few days because he is in London, or coming on his way to London for the chart seminar and also his strategy session. And, you know, that's a great opportunity for anybody who's interested in those events here this week. You can still squeak in. And I am back after a week's holiday, my first in over a year, and I was in lovely Paris. And the main reason I'm going to mention that, because I know a number of you are either live in France or near France or visit France on a regular basis, and if you're interested in art, go along to the Musée d'Orsay and see the Gustave Doré exhibition. It's open until June 5th, and it is spectacular. That's all I'll say. Let's get on to the markets here today. And some interesting developments here overall. And let's have a look. First, if we take Asia, generally steady. Japan up 9/10 of a point. And the Hang Seng was steadier, although the China A-shares, they've been drifting down the last 4 days and need an upward dynamic here to indicate further recovery scope. So Japan, I'm convinced, is building support in here. There's that uncertainty over the VAT increase that's coming next month. And that may well persist for a while, and the yen isn't quite weak enough, although it is a little bit weaker in here today, 103.23 against the US dollar. But on a medium-term basis, I'm really very optimistic about what Japan is likely to do, even in this choppy year of generally low performance. But there are better things yet in Asia here overall. And I should mention Australia. Now, Australia is a good bull market runner, but it has been lagging this cycle, at least in recent years, because of the China slowdown. China remains an enigma. It's cheap, but you know the rest of the story. And Australia does extremely well when the mining sector begins to pick up. There are plenty of other things that can help to drive the Australian market higher as well, but mining is a big sector of that market overall. And I think my audio is a little too loud, so I'm just going to turn it down slightly here so I'm not hitting the red zone on too many of my comments. Apologies if that's affected the volume adversely for you. Now, other than, again, Australia, I think, is building for a move on the upside, and I think that'll coincide with a late run in the mining shares and the base metals as well. The most interesting market in Asia right now, though, remains India. And the Sensex index has been up for the last, I think, five consecutive days, so hitting another new all-time high today. There aren't that many stock markets that are actually doing that right now, and it's all because of Narendra Modi and his anticipated victory, something that the service has been forecasting for quite a while now, pretty much ever since he threw his hat in the ring and decided to run. And let's hope it's substantial enough of a victory. We'll know the voting starts next month, I think on the 7th, and we'll know the result in early June. But those of you who are long India, let's hope for enough sufficient victory here to maintain the momentum, which could be very good. And I think this will be a top performing year for India overall. Vietnam consolidating earlier gains, but still looks very promising for the year as well. I'm a little bit more cautious about the other ASEAN indices over there. Okay. Moving on now into the European markets. A steady overall performance for the most part. A few of them were down, but the gains were bigger and led by, it looks like, Italy in here, up 0.9%. Actually, no, that's not quite correct. Sweden, stronger, 1.37%. And Swiss SMI, up nearly 1%. But generally, steady day in here for Europe. And Wall Street's put in a strong performance here today. There are two factors here overall. One, I think Putin is after the rather inconclusive discussions over the weekend between John Kerry and that the from the U.S. and the Russian minister, not agreeing on much of anything, but it was let's say a diplomatic meeting overall, no alarming statements, and tactically, Putin's moved a few troops further back from the areas of potential tension, and that's a strategic move here, which has helped Wall Street today and also helped the Russian market to recover a little bit further in here today. Now, I think this is on slow burn now, talking about the Russian situation. I think it will come back to worry investors, but possibly not in the short term. But we have not heard the end of this story regarding the Ukraine by any means, in my opinion. But Jen, if it isn't getting worse, then in the minds of most investors, the situation's getting better, and they will act accordingly. But the underperformance of the Nasdaq this month, I think, is a concern, because that had been very much the leader, and when the leaders start to pull back, then you know that it's at a late stage of the cycle, I think is the best way to put it. Again, I'm not too bearish, but I've said before I went away that I felt that we were closer to important highs rather than looking for another big run to the upside, which I'm not. But equally, I'm not looking for any kind of bear market, not with this accommodative monetary policy, despite the tapering. And Janet Yellen made some optimistic comments in terms of investors, by saying slack in the jobs market meant that the Fed would continue to provide support. Well, if she's basing everything on the jobs market, she will continue to provide support. And it won't be until either bond rates start to push up sharply, or we start to see inflationary pressures picking up, and that would be bad for the bonds as well. But that's not an immediate factor. It's not currently a factor, and so that background remains generally benevolent here overall. In terms of long-dated government bonds, which I've just mentioned, they're still ranging here relatively quietly, so no problems there. The US 10-year, that's locked in that range right now for the last couple of months, between mostly 2.6 and 2.5. That's part of a broader range, as you know, dating back to into last year. But the two important developments, when they occur, will be a sustained break above 2.8, and then by far that'll be the early warning sign, and the far more important one will be a sustained break above 3% yield by the by the 10-year. That will happen, I think, this year, but I'm not holding my breath. I'm not holding my breath. I'll put it that way. Now, elsewhere, precious metals. So let's talk currencies here first, and then pick up the precious metals. Sometimes have a currency value in investors' minds. Now, the U.S. dollar a little bit easier in here today, slightly firmer in the euro, 1.3773, and sterling also a little bit higher, 1.6665. Those are just about the same levels they were before I went on my week's holiday, so not a great deal going on there. The currency of interest, incidentally, if I drop back to the Indian rupee, it's just below the 2.6 level. Let me just check that. Don't trust my memory on all the numbers, but it's strong. Is the actual message here? Beg your pardon. Down below 5.9. So there are. Down below 60, so they're actually 59.89 rupees to the U.S. dollar. 59.89 rupees to the U.S. dollar. Remember, the effort was to get it under 62, which the central bank achieved in doing earlier this month. And I don't think they wanted to go much below 60. At least that's what the central bank governor had said some months ago, shortly after he was first appointed. But when you consider that the rupee was up at nearly 69 back in August and early September of last year, this is quite an achievement. And it's another reason why that Indian stock market has been so steady. Okay, getting back to other currencies, I think that's pretty much, those are pretty much the main stories. Otherwise, it's relatively quiet. Precious metals, they started off the day reasonably sound, but then went into reverse. Gold is currently down nearly $11 at 1284.5. Silver, again, silver got up, had a look at, I've been disappointed with silver's performance here overall. We were looking for a correction in all these metals, but it's been quite sharp for silver in particular. And it got up over 20 earlier today, but couldn't hold it, and is last trading after hours at 1977. Oversold in the short term, but needs a clear upward dynamic here to reaffirm prior support in this region. I wouldn't be surprised to see that, but I'll be relieved when it does happen. And palladium, quietly steady here, up $2.50 today. Platinum is steady here overall, 1414. $1,414. That's up over $9 here today. And lastly, crude oil, a little bit easier overall. But one of the more interesting stories of the day was that the grains and beans had been weak early on, but then the USDA came out with a report which said that supplies were down and crops might be somewhat reduced. I'm not sure why. To me, the interesting story has been, would we get a normal planting season right around now and over the next few weeks? There's some doubt about that, certainly in my mind still. But the action, say they were soft earlier today. For instance, corn was down at 475, but it closed at 502 following those comments from the USDA. And similarly, We had a sharp turnaround in soybeans, which had been weak but closed much stronger. And ditto wheat. The wheat was also they were all lower, and wheat closing a little higher here as well. So that still looks like an attractive area to me in terms of additional profit potential. But obviously, it will be the crop outlook, which will be the key factor here in both the United States and Europe over the next 4 to 5 months. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of all of today's highlights. So all the very best to all of you.